You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
3 years on from the Christchurch attacks, Islamophobia is still prevalent in our society. The third Islamophobia in Australia report has shown that online and offline abuse has considerably risen in the last 3 years. I took this opportunity today to speak with Dr. Mohammed Ridwan about how Islamophobia has continued to spread following the attacks and how said abuse continues to affect the community. Since the Christchurch attacks 3 years ago, how have you found the survivors have attempted to find closure?
I guess for them, it is always a reminder about what has happened to them, being injured and losing their loved ones as well. It's a reminder that's always there. But look, as Muslims, what we try to do is actually, obviously we do remember, but then we have our faith. You know, we rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us strong and give us strength and to guide us and to can't let anything that has happened live with that fear and stop us from living our life and doing what we do. As you see, most of the survivors, they are trying their very best to just move on with their life and then just have a normal life. But I guess the reminder is there. And that people are doing the different things. You might have heard of one of survivors, Brother Timmel, who's actually doing a walk of peace. So people are doing different things just to give back to the community, the society as well.
The New Zealand Royal Commission wrapped up its findings at the end of last year with the recommendation to improve counter-terrorism effort, support recovery of affected whānau survivors and witnesses. In the aftermath of the report, do you feel like the goals have been achieved or is there more to be done?
Look, I think the recommendations were great and the government has taken that on board and then they're trying to do their best and they've set up like a ministerial advisory group and then we have the setup of the Ministry of Ethnic Communities. But I guess looking at a bigger picture, you know, based on like what has happened and the recent events that's happened actually in Dunedin as well. It's trying to eliminate hatred towards Muslims or Islamophobia, as you may call it, because that is actually what is leading to all sorts of these attacks and incidents. I guess the main goal would be to find ways or strategies as to how you can remove this notion of people actually hating Muslims or people thinking that all Muslims are terrorists and out there to get them and probably the thing that in their best interest they can hurt the Muslims, which is obviously not the right way. It's all about trying to find strategies as to how we can avoid having this hostile environment where Muslims actually they don't feel comfortable at all, because if we have these sort of attacks happening, then it's not a very nice place. It's not a very nice situation for anyone to be with. So I guess with the recommendations, you know, people are doing, the government are doing whatever they can to adhere to those recommendations. But it's trying to tackle the bigger picture here, which is how we can prevent these attacks from happening again. And we felt like on March 15th that there's a lot of work being done to make sure people are being educated and there's a lot of awareness out there to obviously prevent these sort of attacks happening. But then 3 years down the track, we have something, I don't know, one of three of our daughters get assaulted and they're assaulted by, you know, teenagers as well. It gets us thinking as to what's going on, where, what more can be done to prevent this and why there is so much hatred toward Muslims.
To speak on that hatred, the third Islamophobia in Australia report has been released to coincide with the third anniversary of these attacks, and the findings have shown that online abuse has occurred 18 times more often following the attacks and offline abuse has quadrupled. Is there an attribution you can see that's happened since?
Apart from people doing the groundwork over here, there's a lot of hatred being promoted in social media as well. So, I mean, nowadays, everyone has access to, you know, social media, even young kids as well. So it's all this, what they're learning from the social media, that's actually being what they're picking up on. And they may feel like that, you know, what they're doing is the right thing, but actually it's not. So I guess all this hatred, this increase in abuse is coming from what they're being taught, what they're learning or picking up from social media, because there's a lot of hatred out there. I mean, not just against Muslims, but against, you know, like other ethnic groups as well. Like, you know, so I would say that that has probably increased as well in the last 3 years, and that has probably led to increase in people, you know, feeling it's okay that, you know, I can go out there and abuse online or offline as well. obviously, you know, there are groups as well who are actually quite active, obviously, against Muslims or any other ethnic groups or any other religious groups. So it's just that there's an increase of that as well. So that was probably most likely attributed to the increase in online and offline abuse.
Especially with the incident with Hoda al-Jamaa being the most recent example that we've seen in New Zealand, with how shocking the news was for not just in the community but out, like what more can be done to protect Muslim people from extremist attacks in the future?
That incident was quite horrifying, and it's obviously the Muslim community was very upset and angry and also frustrated, you know. And it was such a violent attack that happened to our young daughters, and it happened at school, and the attackers were none other than actually students as well from that school. So, you know, it happened inside the school, it wasn't public, and it was between students. So that was actually another concern for the community as well, obviously not for just the Muslim community, but the wider community as well, because it's young kids being involved, young kids doing it. So it just gets us thinking, what is it that, you know, obviously they're not being taught at schools that, you know, it's okay to do those kind of things. No, definitely not. But where are they picking up all of that is actually causing them to be so violent? Because if you look at it now, the attackers in that incident, they were young kids. So that, New Zealand is quite multicultural. So growing up, you know, it's safe to say that all of them probably grew up in a school where they were exposed to other people of different other ethnic groups or races. So it's not like they weren't exposed to it. So growing up, they were exposed to it. So it's not like, it should be not something new. But then why, when hit the teen, that this kind of attack? So where are they actually learning this from? So it's all about finding out where they're learning all of this hatred, or that they felt okay for them to go and release all this violence. So in terms of what can be done, because, you know, these attacks has included young kids, so what is it that needs to be done, and how we can tackle this? So there has to be serious discussion on the negative effects of, you know, not just Islamophobia, but racism as well. And we need to follow in this discussion. There needs to be actions that can actually have significant impact on the society, which is deeply rooted with racism and Islamophobia. And there needs to be continued collaboration between different organizations to tackle these issues, and combining everyone's efforts to uproot this hatred towards others. There needs to be continued awareness of different religions, ethnicities, and cultures. And the government, they can play a really good role in this as well. I mean, they should consider that this is a crime for anyone behaving in such a manner, you know, and for any group or individual or group committing this crime, they should deliver harsh consequences. They need to actually provide funding and resources to all the organizations who are deeply concerned. And obviously, they have the manpower and are willing to tackle these issues, but they just probably don't have the funding and the resources. If the government can back them up, that would be good. And at the education level, the Ministry of Education, they need to update the curriculum to provide education on equality and tolerance. That not one person has superiority over another, you know, regardless of creed, color, race, ethnicity, or religion. So everyone needs to respect who they perceive as different or they're addressing. Everybody should be treated as equal. Now, the other important thing that I would like to highlight, that we as Muslims, you know, because we, ever since 9/11, we have been labeled as terrorists, regardless of whatever we do. And that's not actually who we are. We are not born terrorists. We do not practice terrorism. We do not, our Islamic teaching does not teach terrorism. It's actually against, our teaching is totally against terrorism. So it's about, you know, because we feel like that, you know, if Muslims do anything, commit a crime, they're automatically labeled as terrorism, and it's promoted in the public media as well. Whereas if someone else of a different faith or whatever, they commit a crime, it's just that maybe their name or not even their name will be publicized. But when it comes to a Muslim, not only their names, but their faith is actually publicized as well. And then with that, terrorism is linked as well. And a perfect example is something that happened last year. We had a knife attack in Dunedin Countdown and another knife attack in Newlyn Countdown, same MO. One was labeled mentally unstable, whereas other one labeled was a Muslim terrorist. So you can see the difference here and how the community will feel towards that as well. So the government, they need to step up and help the situation out as well. Yeah.
And that was Dr. Muhammad Ridwan from the Federation of Islamic Associations of New Zealand speaking to me about the continued spread of Islamophobia since the Christchurch attacks and how it affects the community.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.